Our text for this morning, Psalm 119, verses 137 to 144. A portion of the Bible's longest psalm, and I've titled the message, Conformed to the Master. So let's ask the Master to bless the reading and exposition of his word. And so, Lord, we pray that as it is read, as it is expounded, and as it is heard, that your Spirit who inspired it would come now and bless. Lord, we take the words of the hymn we sang, come, incarnate word, gird on your mighty sword. Our prayer attend, come, and your people bless. Give your word success, Spirit of holiness, on us descend. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. If you've taken a look at the outline for today's message, you'll see that the introduction says all Scripture is not created equal. Now, before you gaff me and pull me out of the pulpit, let me emphasize that I'm not, of course, referring to the full plenary, or plenary as it's called, inspiration of every word of all the 66 books of the inerrant and infallible holy word of God. What I mean is that the various major sections of the Scripture emphasize different aspects of godly knowledge and wisdom. They were given by the Lord in different contexts and unto different purposes. For example, when we read the book of Genesis, we see the almighty power of God in creation and in his thorough judgment of the world that was by the flood. We learn about the origin of all things visible and invisible. We learn of the history, the true history of early mankind, which is so different than what we're told to believe by Darwinism. In the prophecies of Daniel, we see revealed the absolute sovereignty of the God who is the Lord of all nations, and who, as we see, as we're beginning to see in the case of Saul and David, he deposes certain earthly kings and exalts others, all the while executing his plan for the establishment of his own everlasting kingdom. That stone that struck Nebuchadnezzar's dream statue and became a great mountain filling all the earth, speaking to us of the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ, who is already ruling and reigning and putting all enemies under his feet. We might turn to the Gospel of John to gaze upon the wonder of God in the flesh, the Word made flesh, who dwelt among us, who stood in calm majesty before his opponents and said, before Abraham was, I am. God incarnate saying the very same words that he spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, declaring himself to be the eternal God who has no beginning and no end. That's our Lord Jesus Christ revealed as God incarnate in the book of John. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that in order to run with endurance the race that is set before us, we are to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But though we have the blessed hope of seeing him one day in glory, at present, we do not see him. So just how do we look unto Jesus? How can we look unto someone we can't see? Isn't that what the Apostle Peter said? Now you don't see him, though you rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. So how do we exactly look unto Jesus? Well, the short answer, of course, is by faith. The longer answer is by giving faith something to chew on, so to speak, something to nourish and build it up. And the Psalms excel in providing that, in making it possible to look unto Jesus. Some of you may have heard the term messianic psalm. It means that this particular psalm really shows forth the Messiah who was to come. But according to Jesus himself, all the Psalms are messianic. And that, of course, includes the long 119th Psalm, and it includes the section we are looking at today. Because Jesus said, according to Luke 24, 44, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." The Psalms show us the persecution that the Lord Jesus would face. In Acts chapter 4, the apostles have been released, and they come and report to the disciples. And everyone gathers and they pray, "Lord, you who are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." They're looking to the second psalm. They apply directly to Jesus. They apply these words directly to Jesus. In the very next verse, saying, "For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together." So there we have the messianic nature of the second psalm. It shows us Christ's persecution. It shows us his enthronement on God's holy hill of Zion. Likewise, in Acts chapter 13, Paul is preaching the resurrection of Jesus. And in verses 32 to 35 of that chapter, he cites both the second psalm and the 16th psalm as having spoken centuries in advance of Jesus' resurrection. So it's not only the Gospels where we see the things he did on earth, but it's through the Psalms and the prophets and the law that we see, that we are able to look unto Jesus. The Psalms show his being the way, the truth, and the life, as he declared, being the true sacrifice. The 118th Psalm details that, including the line that is often quoted in the New Testament, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone." So it is when we begin to look at the Psalms, seeing Christ, that we're built up. We look unto Jesus by seeing him in the Word of God, and in a peculiar way, I believe, in the Psalms. Find one final example. In Psalm 6, verse 8, David writes, "Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." Well, who is David's greater son? Who is the one to whom they cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David"? David, in speaking those words in the sixth psalm, was foreshadowing the words of his great descendant, the true King of Kings, who, according to Matthew 7, verse 23, on the great day of judgment, will say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." So even in what is to come, we see Jesus Christ foreshadowed and spoken of in the Psalms. We can look, we can meditate, we can take them and see Jesus. We can look unto Jesus in that way. So throughout the Psalms, including our text, we gaze upon Christ in the various glories of his person and work, and the Holy Spirit upon whom we depend to build us up in the faith. He does something amazing in us through that. He begins to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Man was made in the image of God. Sin came in and did not fully destroy, but marred that image. Our salvation in Christ is being restored. We are now being conformed to the image of Christ, being made like him. That's what conformed means. You've probably heard the expression cookie cutter Christians, the idea that all Christians are exactly alike. You kind of take a cookie cutter and press it down in the dough and everyone looks just the same. Well, we're not cookie cutter Christians in the sense of every one of us being like every other one of us. We have different gifts. We're the body of Christ. We have different abilities and talents. But yet, we are all being conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." I really appreciate the emphasis there that it's the work of the Holy Spirit that does this. In ourselves, we can do nothing. We cannot grow in holiness and grace in and out of ourselves. It requires the ministry of the Spirit of God. So in the spirit of that verse, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's in that spirit that we want to apply this wonderful psalm, and especially our text today, which is just a part of it, in a confirmational way, in a way that we are working with the Spirit to be conformed to the image. We are being transformed into the image of Jesus by the Spirit. And so we want to see Jesus in this passage and imitate him. The passage celebrates, doesn't it, the joy and satisfaction that comes through knowing and treasuring the Word of God. If you mightily desire to know the Lord and have genuine communion with him, this psalm will be a feast for you. If your heart pants for God as the deer pants for the water, the 119th psalm is like a living, bubbling brook. So let's zoom in a little further on this passage. It's one of 22 8-verse sections. Each section begins, each line in those sections begins with one of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And some English Bibles will show those divisions and include the Hebrew characters. And in the original language, each line began with the same letter, so it would make the psalm easier to memorize. And so God's intent was that we would be continually meditating upon passages like this, committing them to our hearts. In the first verse, we read, "Righteous are you, O Lord." And we think of how the Lord Jesus prayed, "O righteous Father," at the end of his high priestly prayer. He both said and showed that seeking God's kingdom and God's righteousness was to be first. Being conformed to Jesus is to love righteousness and hate lawlessness. How is it with you? And how is it with me? Do we hate only the thought of punishment for sin? Or do we hate sin and love righteousness as Christ did? And as we take this in and mull it over in our hearts, meditate upon it, we find ourselves by the power of the Spirit conformed to this glory of Christ. He hated lawlessness and loved righteousness. In verse 139 of our text, we read, "My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words." What does that make you think of? Think of zeal and Jesus Christ. Don't we think of his zeal made clear when he came into the temple and found it being desecrated? He was consumed with zeal. We see Jesus' zeal in his reaction to those who forgot what God's word said about the purpose of the temple. Hear the voice of Christ in this line of the psalm. "My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words." And in his love for it, he cleansed the temple. The Spirit works in us a zeal like that. It conforms us to Jesus in that way. It works in the saints a love for purity and holiness in the worship of God. Verse 140, "Your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it." Christ's love for the word of God was very evident by how he ceaselessly quoted it. We read through the Gospels, and what do we find again and again? The Lord Jesus saying, "It is written," or correcting those who had twisted the Scriptures, saying, "You say this, but this is what God says." We saw him in our sermon series recently on the temptation, how he used the word of God against Satan. He used it in correcting men. So we shall experience the same success treading on scorpions, so to speak, and in building one another up as we know and love the Word of God. Verses 138 and 142, "Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very faithful, and your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth." We see Jesus' delight, according to these words, in his self-declaration about his mission. He said, "I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." And thus, we likewise do not overthrow the law because we're under grace, but rather we uphold it. So I hope you see that I'm making the case here that in this passage of the psalm, in the entire psalm, in all the psalms, we have set before us the mind and heart of our Savior. We learn about him not only from the Gospels, but from all of the Word of God, and in a peculiar way, in a particular way, in the Psalms, as we see Christ in them, the Spirit uses them to conform us to his image. Verse 143, "Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights." Who was more overtaken with trouble and anguish than Jesus? But he delighted in his Father's commandments all the more. He delighted in God's will, though for him it was to go to a cruel cross. In the midst of the trouble and anguish that overtook him, he still took delight in his Father's commandments. And so he says to us in Luke chapter 9, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost?" Verse 144 is the third time in this section that there is a celebration of the righteousness of God's everlasting testimonies. It says, "The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live." May God call us to cry out for understanding, that we may live in the way that the apostle said is true life. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, that's where it's really at, we could say. When we see him, now we're looking unto him by faith. When we see him with resurrected eyes, we shall be fully like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's what we're already moving towards. Even so, as we see him by faith through the word now, we are made more like him. Well, let me conclude with some very practical applications of all of this. I hope that I've set before you the way the Spirit works through the Word to conform us to the image of Christ. That we look unto Jesus, not because we can see him in the sky as Stephen did just before he was stoned to death, but by faith we see him in the Word. Indwelling means living inside. And just as the Word richly filled Jesus Christ, even so, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. All the Word is about him. And he puts not just a textbook of doctrine, as important as that is, but he puts a song in our hearts. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." We see the community aspect there. No doubt more could be said about that, but it tells us that when we're together, when we're in fellowship meals and coffee hours and other times when we're together, what should we be doing? Building one another up in the faith, letting that word that we've sought to memorize and meditate upon, let it come out and let that be the substance of our conversation, building one another up, working with the Spirit to conform us to the image of the Son, to the glory of the Father. Back to Luke 24, where Jesus, not only in the verse I read before, but three other occasions in that passage after he's risen from the dead, he emphasizes the Scriptures, and those two disciples say, didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the Scriptures to us? And so I exhort all of us to read and to study, believe what Jesus said there, that all of the Scriptures, the Psalms included, this passage included, it all speaks to us about him. And it is all used by the Spirit to conform us to his image. Look for Christ in the Old Testament. Ask the Spirit's help to see him. Ask him to help you to grow in seeing Jesus in all his fullness. The earliest Christians didn't have the New Testament. The apostles preached Christ from the Old Testament. And there is much of the riches of the glory of Christ kept stored up for us there. Use it or lose it, basically, is what I'm saying. Exercise or atrophy. What is atrophy? That's when you don't use your muscles and they become small and useless. And so this means working at it. It means doing things like having little cards or papers or recordings on your phone by which you can memorize the Word of God. Go over it in your mind and heart, asking the Spirit to use it to show you Jesus so that you can be looking unto him and be conformed to his image. And the Psalms are a great place to start. And I can't imagine a greater psalm than the 119th. And finally, praying through. Make this and other passages your own prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Sometimes when we pray, we kind of just don't know what to say to the Lord. But passages like this provide prayers that we can make our own and bring them before the Lord. Comparing our own Christian experience and our own aspirations to those of the psalmist. Asking God, Lord, make this the prayer of my heart. And what a joy it is to find in reading through passages like this. And yes, this is what my own heart desires as well. And so it builds us up in the faith. The more we do it, the more it blesses us and causes us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, to be conformed to him. So in short, there's nothing magical, so to speak, in these practical applications, but yet there's everything divine. These are ordinary means. Memorization, singing, talking about the Word of God, committing it to our hearts. These are ordinary means by which something very extraordinary, namely God's grace, comes to us. Through the Word of God, let us be looking unto Jesus to be conformed to him, that we may serve him in this world and have comforting hopes for the world that is to come. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus is revealed for us throughout your word in the Psalms. Lord, help us to see him there, to ask your Spirit to open our eyes that we may behold Jesus there and be more and more conformed to our image. Father, help us to put other things aside so that we might devote ourselves more and more to your word and thereby find ourselves growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord, being conformed to his image. Father, may we hear your word today and apply it to our hearts and lives by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.